to Samuel today, 1 Samuel. Very important strategic part of God's Word. I feel very dependent on the Lord. I left all my notes at home, so you may get the short version today, but I... Hallelujah. Well, I've discovered there's a purpose for all things. I said there's a purpose in all things. I'd like to minister today on where are the Davids of the Lord? Where are the Davids of the Lord? You're familiar with the name David. We're all familiar with the name of Saul. But there was a young man by the name of David. And I'd like to begin our thought here with 1 Samuel. And I'm reading at verse 17. Verse 29, and David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" Now, if you haven't read our book, it's available in the bookstore on Is There Not a Cause? Or it's about the cause. It's one that has really grown in acceptance, and I think when people are seeing what is involved there, that it's making a difference in a lot of people's lives. You know the story how that when David came on the scene of action, saw what the situation was, and he saw Goliath defying the armies of the living God. He saw, in the vernacular of our day, we could say he saw religion being written off as nothing. Eastern religions paraded before people, heathen religions, religions that were not religions at all, just religions of man. When David saw that kind of a scene, every fiber of his being rose up and he said, "Is there not a cause? Doesn't someone see what's going on here?" And you know, we're facing the same thing in our nation today. This nation was literally founded on "In God We Trust." We were in Washington just a few days ago for the National Prayer Breakfast, and we've been there before going through the important places, and it's amazing. There are scriptures all over Washington. Statues, things going back to the very beginnings of the beginnings of our nation. The Word of God was the foundation. In fact, the first schoolhouse was the church house. The first schoolhouse was, you'd probably laugh at some of those rustic structures today, but the first schoolhouse was held in the church house. And the first text for institutions of higher learning was the Bible. You say, what can you learn from the Bible? You can learn everything that you need to know. They learned to read. They learned character. They learned to tell the truth. They learned to build their lives upon just and fair play. They learned to build their lives on not destroying one another, but loving one another. Words. I'll tell you, the Bible is full of words. Watch your words. Better to say nothing than to say something and to speak amiss. Wisdom is the principal thing. Get it. No matter what you have to sell, do, barter, or trade for, get yourself the wisdom of God. And you'll be successful in life as the teaching of God's Word. There are a lot of things that we admire about David. Of course, David, I think one of the most awesome things about David is he was a man after God's own heart. And that says enough right there. You said, yeah, but he sinned and missed it. Anyone hasn't? Please stand up. We want to pray for you. I've often said if we were to flash on the video, we like for our best moments to be recorded, but if all of our worst moments could be recorded on video and just everybody sit still now, sound people, would you turn them on one by one? There'd be doors made all over. If we needed doors, new doors in this auditorium, we'd have plenty of new doors made of people going out because, you know, we're proud of our accomplishments, but we all have a slow day and a low day sometimes. And thank God that's called amazing grace. Someone said, you believe in grace. Dear God, yes. Amen, with all my heart. But as I look at David, there are so many things that I appreciate about David. So many things that I appreciate about David. Some information has come into my hands that I've been looking for, and really this has been in my heart. I'm trying to think at least 5 years, 6 years, 7 years. And eventually a book will come out of it. I know God wants me to minister along these lines. But just the phrase, the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts. It's in the Old Testament some 235 times, the Lord of hosts. Now the Hebrews pronounce it a little different, but we'll just stay with Texan today, the Lord of hosts, all right? Three themes are consistent in situations where people use this name of God. Now listen closely to me. The name of God, knowing the names of God, especially knowing the name of the Lord of hosts, is all essential to your present and your future. So listen closely. I mean, I'm still absorbing. I just could not share this part of it with you, and the rest will come later. But three themes are consistent in situations where people used this name of God, the Lord of hosts. They were in a desperate situation, or they had cried out to God, or they had been in the presence of God. And I'm going to tell you, when you've been in the presence of God, you're not real talkative about that time. You need a little quiet time in a rocking chair or by yourself somewhere just to meditate. You don't skip into the presence of God and have fellowship with deity without coming away a stronger man or a stronger woman. The Lord of hosts is used 235 times in the Old Testament. This is almost three times as much as any other name used for God. God of hosts is used 39 times in the Old Testament. But the Lord of hosts, the Lord of Sabbath, a term describing all the forces that operate at God's command throughout the whole I read that too quickly. The Lord of hosts, the Lord of Sabbath. A term describing all the forces that operate at God's command throughout His whole creation. One of these days, this world that can't get enough war, terrorists that can't get enough terror, one of these days, people, you know, that just can't get enough bloodshed, you wait until God's entire army gets involved with the end time. You ain't seen nothing yet. He is the commander supreme of every righteous military organization in this world. A term describing all forces that operate at God's command throughout the whole creation. It is the title of His role as a divine warrior and leader of the armies of Israel. This is the name of God that we find used in Scripture when a man or a woman is at the end of their rope, so to speak. This is the strong tower which God has made available for those when we fail and are powerless. When our resources are inadequate, and when there is no other help. In essence, when you come to the end of yourself, you don't know who or where to turn. There is nothing that you know to do. You've done everything you've known how to do. There's something you can do. There's something I can do. We can call upon the Lord of hosts, the God of ultimate battles and victories. And I'm again telling you that this world can't get enough blood in their Hollywood scenes. I mean, the bloodier it is, the more violent it is, the more gory it is, the crazier it is, the better it sells. Thank God some good movies are coming along, have come along, and there are. You have to move pretty quickly to get in on them. But, I mean, I'm talking about Hollywood as a whole. I mean, the majority of what they put out is below the level of trash. It's just below the level of trash. You have to be a little mentally off to get to groove with that. But this name of the Lord, remember, God has made it available for those times when we fail and when we're powerless, when our resources are inadequate, and when there is no other help. There's two that are very famous, two of the 235 times that the Lord of hosts is mentioned that are very famous. I mean, we've all heard them if you've been around church any period of time. And that's Zechariah 4:6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." It's when failure looks imminent that God's power alone can and will save. And after completing this year, now our 50th year as founders and pastors of this great church, it's impossible to go very far without me referring to one of so many times over 50 years when there was no hope, there was no help, everything was in reverse. It just seemed like, I mean, everything from finances to people to current trends to whatever. I mean, it just 50 years, you pretty well run the gamut of things that churches face and leaders of churches face. Times when failure looks imminent, but God's power alone brought us through, and God's power brought us out. Times in your marriage when there, you can go to every counselor under the sun, and I agree with counselors. Thank God for counselors. In marriages, people that buck us the quickest on counselors usually give them some time. You'll see they needed it the most. There are reasons for that. We all need help. Will Mr. and Mrs. Perfect please stand up? Lay hands on all of us. We need your wisdom. We all need God's help. The Bible's not a book of perfect men and women. It's a group of men and women that made mistakes, but their faith was in God. And I love what Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin used to say. The man or the woman that God uses is those that are quick to repent and quick to change. Well, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. One of the strongest references, I believe, in the story of David and Goliath is where we are right now, is 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Hallelujah. Sort of akin to the song that has been sung now for a little while. He's the God of angel armies. He is the supreme commander of every angel in this universe. He is the God of all power. He is a righteous God. He is a good God. And he is a God who is committed to helping those that trust him and call upon his name. In so many ways, the odds were against David winning this fight. Physically, he was probably about half the size of Goliath. His weapon was a slingshot, not a sword or a spear. David couldn't get too close to Goliath because his weapons could have easily killed David first. But David's slingshot was a weapon that was designed to be used at close range. Are you close range today? Anybody close range with something that you really need help in? Get a smile on your face. You're in a good situation. The moral of the story is, without God's help, David isn't going to survive this encounter. No doubt about it. Jimmy the Greek just left town. He won't even bet on that one. He knows there's no hope. Today's science tells us that the stone would have to be carrying 400 pounds of pressure to knock Goliath out. But Scripture says it didn't just knock him out, it sunk into his head. This required a lot of force, more than David could supply alone. And I have a word for you. What we need today is more than what we can do. We need the force of the Lord of hosts. Maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe it's in your finances. Maybe it's with your children. Maybe it's with relationships. Maybe whatever. America certainly needs the Lord of hosts today. We better wake up who our enemy really is. We know who the ultimate enemy is, but we better come out of la-la land and realize we've got a problem in our world and we have a problem in our nation, and we don't have a clue where they are. Don't have a clue where they are. And yet, you're okay, I'm okay, everything's cool. Yeah, I know God's going to take care of us, but you better know that. You better not just hear that. You better know that, and you better believe that, that God will help us and God will take care of us. Know that. Don't just hear it. Don't just let your ears say, yeah, I heard Pastor say that, or I heard someone say that. We know God is a keeping God. But hook your faith up to that. It's the way we got to live. It's the way we got to live. I know Joy and I had to face, when we were beginning to have our children or contemplating having our children, is this too wicked a world to bring children into? Hey, that's been several years ago. Every generation has had to face that question. And then you've had to come back, if you have faith in God, to believe that no matter what the situation is, that my God shall supply all of my need, all of our need. God's been helping families since the beginning. I said, God's been helping families since the beginning. You see, this is more than what David could do, this 400 pounds of pressure. The frontal bone in the forehead is very thick, and some scientists believe that because of genetics, Goliath's head may have been thicker than most. Probably so. He certainly, spiritually, I can tell you, yes and amen to think you can fight against God. You got a real thick head there, son. In today's terms, a .22 bullet can kill, but would most likely only deal a glancing blow to the forehead of one such as Goliath. More force is needed to penetrate the skull at this location. This is why I believe David called on the Lord of hosts. He didn't just have any name of God. All the names of God are good. He didn't need the God of peace right then. He didn't need the God of forgiveness right then. He didn't need the God of provision right then. He needed the warrior God, the Lord of hosts, the one who was commander general of every angel in the universe, of any military force available. He didn't use just any name of God. He came to the name of the Lord of hosts. Can you imagine David having to look up? He having to look up, you know. Look up about half the size of Goliath. You come against me with a sword and a spear and a shield. Well, it was the best they had back then. Best they had. I mean, this was high-tech warfare for them. What you got, boy? Don't look at my slingshot. Don't look at my stones. Look at my God. I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts. David had developed an intimate relationship with God when he was tending the sheep. He had shown his strength through David when he killed the lion and the bear. You know, even myself, I thought, well, you know, maybe lions or bears weren't as big then as they are today, or appear to be if you have one in front of you, you know. Maybe David was just, he'd been to Gold's Gym once too often, you know, and I mean, maybe, or LA Fitness or what. I mean, maybe this guy was just Herculean, supernaturally, physically strong. Yeah, it all came into it. He certainly wasn't a weakling. But he didn't take that lion down, and he didn't take that bear down because he was so bad. Because David was so strong. Because David knew the techniques of bringing lions and bears down. Because he had studied the science of how to handle wildlife. I believe with all of my heart that tending sheep, learning to know God, learning to know the names of God, that all of a sudden here was a lion, a real life lion. And David said, Lord, I'll give my part of it. I'll do my part, but I call upon the name of the Lord of hosts. And that was the factor that brought the lion and the bear down. Wasn't that Samson was so, I mean, no man could do what he did. No matter how big, how bad, how strong, whatever. I mean, he picks up twin gates of the city, walks uphill with them. Have you tried that lately? I mean, picking up a broom, it just wears you out, you know. Lift, even if it's an auric, you try to lift that little guy up and you just get tired. The strength that David had developed was the strength that only Almighty God can give to those that call upon the name of the Lord. And church, I submit to you with all that is within me. I don't do it perfectly. I don't do it every time accurately as I ought and should. But this pastor has learned over 50 years, when you don't know what to do, when there's nothing else you can do, when there is no help available, call on the name of the Lord of hosts. Call on the supernatural name of Almighty God. And I must remind you, this was not David's first rodeo. Although young, he had spent much time with God and learned of God's character, nature, and strength. He knew that God was greater than any army that could encamp against Israel. See, he realized he's not just facing Goliath. He's facing an entire army. David also knew in this situation that he didn't need God the provider or God the healer, but the divine warrior, God, who is the divine warrior, the Lord of hosts. He needed the Lord of hosts. He didn't just need Goliath defeated. He needed all of the Philistine army to be defeated. Hallelujah. Are you with me today? Praise God. Are you with me? Hallelujah. He's the God of angel armies. Praise God. You know, David, in dealing with Goliath, and listen to me carefully, he said, well, I'm not into that confessing thing. You know, you confess everything else. Living on the second green of a golf course, I hear golfers confess things I can't say from the pulpit. I see golfers down on their knees. Hey, how many times I'd stop counting. I just grow golf balls in my backyard. If they're bad enough to hit my house, I just smile and put my foot on the golf ball and they go on down the road, you know. After you pay for two or three or four windows, why, you know, that helps the kitty, you know. Amen. All right, let's get back to reality here. Well, that is reality. But he spoke this faith over and over again. And as he looked at Goliath, it was just, all right, I'm coming against you in the name of the Lord. You better get out of my way. Over and over again, he asserted, I'm coming in the name of the Lord. You don't have a chance. Goliath probably said, your mama's going to have a sad day today. David said, no, you got it wrong. Your mama's going to have a sad day. Your mama's the one that we're going to order flowers for. Oh, my. In fact, if you remember, Saul tried to dress him up with religious armor. I said Saul tried to dress him up with religious armor. And even though it was on sale, David said, I can't take it. Hallelujah. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I'll give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a bullet. That was his bullet, the shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the Lord of hosts. The God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. You've gone too far. You've stepped over a line. You don't mess with God. You can mess with me and I can mess with you, but we better not mess with God. Amen. This day, he's getting a little testy now. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I'll give it to the carcasses of the host of the Philistines, this day unto the fowls of the air and the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. There is a God in Calvary Cathedral International. There is a God in America. God bless America. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistines arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead. Remember, glory to God, the force that it would take. And the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine. Hallelujah. The latter part of verse 1 of 1 Samuel here, 1 Samuel 17. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. I like the rhyme there. When they saw their champion was dead, they fled. Praise God. If Goliath had prevailed, he could have forced the Israelites into the service of a false god and the worship of a false god. But God, when David came in the name of the Lord of hosts and specifically called on God to wage war on his behalf, this was literally his only defense against Goliath. I mean, this was it. You think a slingshot was it? You think a little stone was it? A little slingshot? Half the size of Goliath? No, his defense was the Lord of hosts. And one truth God made to me that will last me throughout eternity. In the year 2000, when everything we'd worked for all of those years downtown was yellow taped, condemned. When God is all you have, you find out that God is all you need. My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory. Now, just let me do a little quick wrap here on some other things about David. David positioned himself to be used by God. Folks, this is not a plaything. I grew up in church taking church seriously. I didn't always take God as seriously as I should have taken him, but my two brothers, myself, my father and my mother, were church people. They were born-again people. They loved God. They believed God. And you know, pastors across this nation are asking themselves this question. Americans have been so blessed by God, but have our toys and our thrills so overtaken us that we virtually have no time for God? You know, all it can take is all the utilities go off. All it can take is just a few terrorists across America. I'm not a fearmonger. I'm a positive guy. But I'm telling you at the same time, folks, we need to live ready to depend upon the name of the Lord. Our safety is not in the things of this world. You can't have enough border patrol to keep out the wrong people. You can't have enough armies. We've let this thing go too far. Only God, not too far for God, but we've let this thing go too far and not realizing that we indeed do have an enemy. It's only God that has kept the insane anti-Christ demonic influences of terrorism back from just bringing this nation to its knees. We're vulnerable in America, and so is every other nation. But let's look at David here. David positioned himself to be used by God. Where are the Davids? We're well versed on Goliath. They're all around us. They're in the newspapers. They're on the evening news. They're all over the world. They're in Paris. They're in where we've pulled out, then the terrorists have pulled in. Let's look at David. Do what you can do. Learn where God has planted you. Hold steady where God has positioned you. David University was Sheep University. Sheep University. Sheep require faithfulness. Sheep don't require part-time shepherds. Sheep require loyalty, on-the-job shepherds. You get a sheep with a full coat of wool, he gets on his back, he's history if the shepherd or the shepherd's dog does not find him. One sheep runs down a hill, doesn't have a clue where he's going. He sees some water. The whole flock of sheep follow him down the hill. I saw a photo over in Australia, and they all drown because they're helpless in water. Sheep need a shepherd. Sheep need leadership. Sheep need people that love them for the right reasons. Amen. And so David was faithful in herding sheep. He learned the lion lesson, herding sheep, depending upon the name of the Lord. See, David had on-the-job training. He didn't just read this in a textbook, then ride his bicycle down to Starbucks and then go home. He learned through on-the-job training. The only way I'm going to defeat this lion or this bear is by the name of the Lord of hosts. He was the youngest. Oh, he's just a kid. Even his own father didn't think he had a ghost of a chance being any kind of anointed king. But finally the prophet said there's got to be one more, and there was. David was the youngest and the least likely to succeed. Willing to run errands. Willing to be a flunky, if you want to say it like that. You know, there's a lot of things that need to be done around churches that don't get hand clapping notoriety. Picking up paper off the floor, I mean, you don't hear the angels begin to sing and choirs begin to applaud you. But God sees every piece of paper you pick up. Obedient to his father. I never find where David was not obedient to his father. We need a new respect in this day and time for not only our earthly fathers, but our spiritual fathers. He learned music. Skillful in playing a harp. See, the harp was the instrument, obviously, to play at that time. They didn't have keyboards. They didn't have electricity, you know. But he learned to skillfully play a harp. You know, let me just put a challenge out. I've told a number of young people, especially in the kingdom of God, if you can skillfully even play a keyboard, it's amazing how far you can get with that. There's always something that's needed. You need it with children. You need it with youth. If you can learn, just learn to play a guitar. Just learn to play a guitar. It's amazing. You know, the two instruments you can't... When all electricity goes down, you can't silence a guitar and you can't silence a piano. They don't have to be electrically. See what I mean? Learn to be skillful. Don't just be pretty good at it. Learn to be the best. I could give some interesting stories right now of people that I know that God has used them in a supernatural way. It's amazing how God can put you in king's palaces if you just practice. And if you're just ready and available when the opportunities come. Well, when the king had a problem, it was David that was chosen to come in. And he not only played that harp, he skillfully and anointedly played that harp. Because when David played the harp, demons had to flee. Now we got ourselves a strong keyboard. Strong harpist. Demons had to flee. And Saul, who was beginning to turn away from God now, when he was small in his own eyes, God chose him and God exalted him. But now, listen to me, church. Not one of us in this room has come so far that we don't need God. I need God more today than I've ever needed God. You need God today more than you've ever needed God. Our nation needs God. We need God. And you know, I'll tell you something else David discovered. He said, well, poor kid, he's just out there. It's boring. Well, so what? You need a little quiet time. I mean, people are afraid of quiet time. I mean, you can't buy groceries without music. I mean, you go in a public place, you can't even go to the bathroom without music. I mean, we're so geared, we got to, you know, you come to a traffic light. Lord, turn the light before he comes unjointed. Whatever happened to the old-fashioned art of just being still and knowing that he's God, hearing God talk to you? God doesn't have a chance. We're too busy. Three cell phones going at the same time. Oh, Jesus. But some way, somewhere, David learned the names of God. Because when you become best friends with somebody, you know what their name is. I said, when you become best friends, you know, you meet somebody, it's hard to keep up with everybody's name, but when you really know somebody, you know what their name is. And there's one thing that came out of those lonely hours and quiet hours of taking care of sheep while the brothers were up fighting the big war. Yeah. When everybody was showcased up hiding from Goliath, David was by the sheep. And David was learning that God was his best friend. David was learning when you don't know what to do, God does. David was learning when your strength is low, God's strength is unlimited. David knew firsthand the Lord of hosts, the God of angel armies. That when you can't depend on anything else, you can depend upon Him. When nothing else makes sense, you're fellowshipping with wisdom. Davids are very needed today. And all ages are needed. I mean, churches, all ages. But we got to have young people coming in. And that's a need. Young people are a part of any New Testament church. We need young people. We need them. We need their zeal. We need their youth. We need their expertise. David knew by experience the power of the Lord of hosts. Just knowing the Lord of hosts, it helped him with a lion, it helped him with a bear, it helped him on running errands to the front line. Oh, I'm just a flunky. I just run sandwiches up to brother because dad'll make me do it. I'll suffer if I don't. No. And it was on one of those sandwich trips that he heard Goliath, and every righteous bone in his body said, "Is there not a cause? Don't you guys hear what's happening? He is defying the armies of the living God." Well, smart boy, do something about it. I can and I will. Hey, there's a kid down here. He's either been out in the sun too long or he says he can and he will. Saul said, well, let's look him over. And Saul looks him over. And Saul is so desperate that he's willing to trust a young David. Armor won't work, but his faith. His armor won't work, but his faith does. Write that down. His armor won't work, but his faith does. His faith will. And he stands up before, and he said, "You come against me with a sword and a spear." Oh, but he said, "I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts." So David prevailed over the Philistine. You know, we're in a generation that's just, I never will forget what Eldred Thomas, who was the owner of 91.7 in Dallas, he was a very dear friend of this ministry. It was a real loss when we lost that station, went to his sons, and then his sons didn't see the value in it and sold it out. Elder Thomas prayed with me many a time when we were in those difficult days downtown of getting our financing. But he said, "You know, Pastor Bob, I think we're too well informed about the wrong things. I think we're overloaded with information we can't use. I think we're overloaded with what we don't know what to do with. We need to know more about God and the Word of God." Well, I don't know about you, but this has fired my soul up. The Lord of hosts, 235 times throughout the Old Testament. The Lord of hosts! There's not one righteous, call them an angel, call them whatever you want to call, whoever they are. If they're on God's payroll, there's not one military force or representation of military force in this universe that is not under the Lord of hosts. And when the Lord of hosts says so, it's so. When the Lord of hosts says go, go. When the Lord of hosts says no, no. It's time we get back to in God we trust. Because if God be for us, who can be against us? Stand to your feet if you will. Hallelujah. Oh, praise be unto God. Don't know about you, but I preach myself happy this morning. He's the God of angel armies. He's the Lord of hosts. He's not a false God. He's not a little demon-looking kind of a God. First time I went to India, everybody's bringing back those little, all those little statues, you know, just keepsakes. I said, I don't want any of those demons in my house. Keep your demons. Hallelujah. Woo! Shalaborakasai. Folks, this time we celebrate the fact that the God of angel armies is in this room today. He's for you, with you, in you, through you. And when you don't know what to do, when you don't know where to go, when you don't know what move to make, be still and know that He is God. And trust in Him. And you'll win. I got out further. I don't know how to get back. Hallelujah. He will never let go my hand. Oh, He will never let go my hand. Although the storms may come and the winds they may blow, He will never let go my hand. Forget Zechariah 4:6. It's the word of the Lord saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Say it with me this morning, the Lord of hosts. Say, the Lord of hosts is with me. I'm with the Lord of hosts. There are no impossibilities.
There are no impossibilities
when I trust in the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.